Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And it is time for us to open our Bibles. The title of today's message is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? And we are going to look at this topic today because as human beings, there's something that we tend to forget sometimes, and that is that we serve a God who can do anything. We serve a God who can make a way where there is no way. We serve a God to whom no things are impossible. He can truly do anything. He is not limited. And there's nothing that man can do to limit God. He will do what he will do. Now, our God always has a plan. You know, you hear about people sometimes, and they're very cunning, very clever. And, you know, sometimes people will say of an adversary, it seems like he's two steps ahead of me all the time. Well, God is 1,000 steps ahead of us. At least, he always knows what to do. He knows the end from the beginning. He sees it all and he knows it all. And he is never, ever stuck. We are going to be opening our Bibles to Genesis chapter 18 to begin with this morning. Genesis chapter 18. And of course, as I always do before we begin reading our scripture, we're going to pray one more time. Father in heaven, we come before thee, thanking thee for this precious book that thou hast given us. We thank thee for this blessed opportunity to learn of thee. We thank thee for the knowledge, O God, that nothing is too hard for thee. We thank thee for the knowledge that thou doest all things well. We thank thee for the knowledge that nothing is impossible with thee. And we pray, Lord, that thou would instill great faith in our hearts today. Help us to remember thy promises. Help us to know of a surety that thou art there to help us. Help us to know that thou hearest our cries. Help us to know, O God, that thou lovest thy people. And we pray, Lord, that we would all look to thee as the author and the finisher of our faith. We pray, Lord, that we would reach out to thee and trust in thee more and more, more than ever before, Lord. We pray, Lord, that thy blessing would fall here today. And we pray, Lord, that there would be no hindrances here this morning, but we bind and we break any force of darkness or any hindering power that would come against us. And we pray, Lord, that thou would give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts that would perceive and understand. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Well, we are going to look at Genesis chapter 18 to begin with. And we are going to be going to various portions of Scripture today to see how God has helped his people all throughout history. And hopefully, this will instill great faith in our hearts and help us to believe on him more and more. And to have that faith, that knowledge, and that understanding that God truly can do anything. Genesis chapter 18, and this is going to tell us the story of something wonderful that happened to Abraham. He got a visit from the Lord. And that is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Have you ever gotten a visit from the Lord? And as it turns out in this particular story, he came in the form of a man. But he also came with two angels. So there were three of them in this group, and they came to visit Abraham. And they had something wonderful to tell him. And actually, if you read the entire chapter, they had something wonderful to tell him, but they also had some important work to do in Sodom and Gomorrah. We're not going to look at that part of the story today, but we are going to look at a wonderful promise that God made to Abraham and to his wife Sarah. Genesis chapter 18, beginning with verse 1. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And we can kind of understand what that feels like today with the air conditioner having been off, and it's taken a while for this building to cool down. So that sets a nice ambiance, I guess, for the story. The heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Now this is important too, because the Lord came to visit Abraham. And what did Abraham do? He invited the Lord in. Now there was a time in our lives when the Lord came to visit us, and the response needs to be that we invite the Lord in. Praise God. We need to do what Abraham did and let the Lord come in and invite him into our hearts. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Verse 4 tells us, Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts, after that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. And you can see just from Abraham's action that he was a very kind man, very hospitable. And he just had this desire to refresh these men and to help them, and that's exactly what he did. So it tells us in verse 6, And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Now, I just want to mention a couple things about this. You know, sometimes you get those militant vegans who say you have to be vegan and that you can't eat any animals. Well, God, in the form of a man, he's eating an animal here because he did not turn down this meal. And if you want to be vegan, go ahead, but you can't make a doctrine out of that. But something else that really stood out to me about this meal as I was reading this story yesterday, this was not kosher. In fact, the Jewish people, they're very strict. They say you can never mix meat and milk or any dairy products. You can't mix them with any form of meat. And because of that, well, except for fish. They say you can do it with fish. And because of that, you know, they can't eat things like cheeseburgers, which is, I find that to be pretty sad, you know. And they won't be getting any butter burgers from Culver's. Of course, I can't have those too often anymore either because of my diabetes. But at any rate, you know, they're very strict about this. They say you can't mix meat and milk. And they take that from that command in the Bible, thou shalt not boil a kid in its mother's milk. Now, does that commandment say that you can't mix dairy products and meat? No, it just says that you're not to boil a kid in its mother's milk. And the reason for that is that was a pagan practice that those pagan Canaanite cultures would do in service to their false deities. So that's why God instructed the Israelites not to do that. But it's really interesting because for really probably thousands of years now, these Jewish rabbis and these scholars, they get together and they debate just how strict they need to be in obeying this command. And some Jewish people, they go so far that they have 2 sets of pots and pans. They have 1 set for cooking dairy products and 1 set for cooking meat. And they can never, ever mix them. And if they eat meat, some of them say, well, you have to wait 6 hours before you can eat any dairy products because some of that meat might get stuck in your teeth, you know. And some dispute that. They say, oh, you only have to wait 3 hours. And others say, well, you only need to wait 1 hour. That's fine, you know. But and then they go on and they argue, well, what if you eat the cheese first? And they say, well, it depends on the type of cheese, because if it's a hard cheese, that taste can linger in your mouth, and you can't be tasting that cheese the same time you're eating meat. They're very strict about this, and this is all based on a misinterpretation of a command from God. The command simply says, "Thou shalt not boil a kid in its mother's milk." And somehow, they extrapolated that and came up with this whole new set of rules. But you see, that's what man-made religion can do. God never gave them the restrictions that they foisted upon themselves. Praise God. Well, anyway, I thought this was interesting because here we see Abraham prepares a meal for God. God in the form of man. And what does he serve him? Meat, butter, and milk. And God ate it. God didn't say to him, whoa, I can't eat that. That's not kosher. No, he ate it. Verse 9. And they said unto him, "Where is Sarah thy wife?" And he said, "Behold, in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son." And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. That's quite a promise. In the mind of man, this was impossible. There's absolutely no way that this could ever happen. And yet it did. Verse 11 tells us, "Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, 'After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also?' But you know what? She did conceive. She did bear a child. It was a miracle baby. Abraham was 100 years old, and Sarah was 90 when she conceived. 90. Now talk to any doctor, talk to any scientist, and they will tell you that is impossible, that it cannot happen. And yet, it did. I truly believe that. I don't believe that these are just stories. Everything we find in this book really happened, including this. And the reason we can believe this is because we know and we understand that God can do anything. Verse 13, "And the Lord said unto Abraham, 'Wherefore,'" it's a word that means why, "'wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child, which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord?' And the answer to that is no, nothing is too hard for the Lord. 'Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son.' Then Sarah denied, saying, 'I laugh not,' for she was afraid. And he said, 'Nay, but thou didst laugh.'" You can't hide anything from God, by the way. And it was kind of silly for her to say, "I didn't laugh," because God would know that she had. But he's saying, "Nay, but thou didst laugh." And that's why they ended up naming that little boy Isaac, because that's a name that means laughter. So every time she called his name Isaac, she was reminded that she laughed. But this is a wonderful promise from God, that they would have a son. And from that son would come forth a multitude of people. But again, in verse 14, God asks the question, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" One of the things I love about the scripture is sometimes you'll see these questions, and then in other verses, you'll see the answer to the question. In fact, in Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 17, we read, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." Praise God. Oh, Jeremiah knew that promise. Jeremiah knew that nothing was too hard for the Lord. He is a God without limitations. And when you think about it, when you have a God who can speak the entire universe into existence, create it from absolutely nothing except His own will, then that is a God who can do anything. There's nothing too hard for our God. Now, we're going to turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 14. And we are going to see another story of how God was with His people. How God fought for His people. This story takes place in Exodus chapter 14 right after Israel had been brought out of the land of Egypt by a mighty hand. God rained down 10 plagues upon the Egyptians until finally Pharaoh relented and let the Israelites go from their bondage and slavery. But they were going to face another trial because God was actually going to harden Pharaoh's heart one more time, and He was going to pursue the Israelites, who at this point were back up against the Red Sea, and they had no way to cross. They were stuck. And yet, even though it was impossible to move forward, God told them to go forward anyway. And we're going to see what He does for His people. And also, we're going to see why He did what He did. Exodus chapter 14, verse 1 tells us, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-Zephon, before it ye shall encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land, the wilderness has shut them in." Pharaoh would see where they were and think, oh, they are trapped. They are trapped and they are going to get it now. Now keep in mind, the Israelites, when they left Egypt, they didn't just leave Egypt. They spoiled the Egyptians. They borrowed all kinds of things from the Egyptians. And the Egyptians were so frightened at that time that they pretty much gave the Israelites anything they asked for. Which was actually fine. You can think of that as back pay for all their slavery and all the hard burdens that they had to bear for those 430 years that they were in Egypt. But Pharaoh would see where they were and think to himself, they are trapped, I'm going to pursue them. Verse 4 tells us, "And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord." And they did so. What God was about to do wasn't just so that the Israelites would know that the Lord is God, but also that the Egyptians would know it. And boy, would they ever know it. But there's another reason why I believe God was doing this. What was about to happen would decimate the Egyptian army. And in so doing, the Egyptian army would never be able to pursue the Israelites again. This was all part of God's plan. He worked out the details ahead of time. And sometimes scary things might be happening in your life and you might struggle to understand why. But keep in mind that it just might be part of God's plan. It might be something that He's going to turn around and use for good to help you. Now, verse 5 tells us, "And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled. And the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people, and they said, Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt, and captains over every one of them. Now that was a lot of military might. But God was going to use this. He was going to use this to decimate that army so that they could not pursue the Israelites anymore. They could not pursue them into the wilderness. And the Israelites would not have to worry about that threat anymore. God was going to take care of this for them. Verse 8. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen, and his army, and overtook them, encamping by the sea beside Pi-Hahiroth before Baal-Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. Hey, if you're ever sore afraid, that's the best thing you can do, cry out to the Lord. And the scriptures tell us that perfect love casteth out fear. So God's love working in you can deliver you from fear. But here we see these Israelites were sore afraid, but in a short while, it wasn't going to be the Israelites who were afraid. It was going to be the Egyptians. Because God was going to fight for his people. Verse 11, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. They should have had more faith in that. God just worked many miracles to bring them out of Egypt. But here we see they were doubting. And that's a problem that they had. We see it time and time again in Scripture. They would doubt God's ability to save. And you should never doubt that. Because nothing is too hard for our God. But here we see this doubt that they had, and they, you know, it's amazing when people are facing a crisis and they think that they had it better before when really they had it horrible. They were slaves, they were in bondage, and Pharaoh kept making it worse, kept making it harder for them to do their tasks. That wasn't any way to live. God set them free from it. Now, when God sets you free, that doesn't mean you won't have any struggles in the future. You may have other battles to fight, and they were going to face an obstacle right here. But God was about to demonstrate his power not only to his people, but also to the Egyptians. And I guarantee you that people around the world heard this story of what happened to the Egyptians. Verse 13 tells us, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Why? Because their army was about to be destroyed. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. The Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. Go forward. Now how could they do that? There was nowhere to go. The Red Sea was in front of them. How do you go forward when there's a big sea in your way? Well, we serve a God who can roll back the waters. He told them to go forward. Verse 16, but lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. You see, when God tells you to go forward, you better go forward, even if it looks impossible. In fact, we always need to make sure that we are going forward, because we are on a road. We are on a highway of holiness, and we are moving towards an eternity with our Savior. Don't look back at your old life, your old sins, but keep going forward. Always moving forward. Follow your Savior and let Him lead you. Verse 17. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. Now this is really amazing what God is doing here. There was a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire that would lead the people. And ordinarily, that pillar was in front of them, leading the people. But in this case, this pillar was behind them. It moved behind them to be a protective barrier between them and the Egyptians. And God can still do that for you today. He can give you a protective barrier between you and the world and you and the devil. You see, these people were going to need time to cross that Red Sea, because at this point in time, the scriptures tell us there were 600,000 able-bodied men, but that wasn't all of the Israelites. There were also older men, and there were women, there were children. Scholars estimate that there were 2.4 million Israelites who left Egypt, and they needed time to cross that Red Sea. So God made sure they had all the time they needed, and He was their rear reward, their rear guard. He was there to protect His people. And what was really amazing about that is that pillar provided light to the Israelites, but darkness to the Egyptians. And you know what? We know the light of God, but to those who do not know the Lord, the light of God looks like darkness to them. And they think their darkness is light. Isn't that strange how it works sometimes? But it tells us in verse 20, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. The Egyptians couldn't see a thing, but the Israelites, they could see clearly because this was a light to them. Verse 21, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all the night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And it must have been a pretty wide area of the Red Sea when you think about how many people needed to cross. 2.4 million, they estimate. That's a lot of people. But God provided exactly what they needed. He gave them a way where there was no way. He gave them a way to move forward. And if you put your trust in God, He will give you a way to move forward. Verse 22 tells us, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians. You know, it's a wonderful thing when God looks upon you in His mercy and His grace. But when He looks upon people in His anger, there is absolutely nothing more terrifying than that. And He looked upon those Egyptians. Verse 25, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. They suddenly had this realization, the Lord was fighting for His people. 26, and the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. God decimated that Egyptian army. And because of that, they would not be able to pursue the Israelites anymore. They would not be able to follow them into that wilderness. The Israelites were not going to have to worry about that Egyptian army ever again. Verse 29, but the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. So that is sad that those people died, but just remember, they did not have to pursue the Israelites. And I guarantee you, they didn't have good plans for the Israelites. Who knows what all they may have done if they had caught up to them, but God made sure that never happened. Verse 31, and Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. Oh, that is what our God can do. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. He is a God who can do the impossible. Let's look at 2 Kings chapter 4 for a brief little story, but another amazing miracle. 2 Kings chapter 4, and we are going to start with verse 1. This is going to tell us a story of a widow who was very much in trouble. She had debts to pay and no money to pay them. And perhaps you've been there too, where you've had debts and you weren't quite sure how you were going to pay it. But at this point in time, it was very serious when you had a debt. It's not like they would just charge interest and you could make minimum payments every month. You know how they do with credit cards nowadays. She owed this money, couldn't pay it, and they were going to take her sons and sell them into slavery. She was about to lose her boys. Now that seems rather bleak, doesn't it? This woman had no solution. She had no way out unless the Lord helped her. But the Lord was about to help her in a miraculous way. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 tells us, now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elijah, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elijah said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. That's all she had. She didn't even have any food. All she had was one pot of oil. Now that's poor. And in this country, even the people who are said to be living in poverty, even the people who are said to be dirt poor, have much more than this woman had. She had almost nothing. But God can take almost nothing and turn it into a lot. God can take almost nothing and turn it into a way out. Verse 3. Then he said, "Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few." In other words, borrow a lot of them, as many as you can get. Every vessel you can find. Verse 4, "And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full." So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, "Bring me yet a vessel." And he said unto her, "There is not a vessel more." And the oil stayed. And she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest." God gave that woman so much oil that she was not only able to pay her debt, but she had enough to live on after that. And I'm here to tell you that God has some oil for you. As much oil as you can take. Praise God. In fact, the scriptures talk about the oil of the Holy Ghost, and He will pour that out upon you if you let Him. Praise God. So he helped this woman in a miraculous way. She was in an impossible situation. There was very little that she could do. All she had was that oil. But God took that tiny little bit of oil and gave her a way out. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Certainly not. Let's look at Matthew chapter 17 for a few verses. Matthew chapter 17, and we are going to begin with verse 24. This tells a very brief little story, but again, this is a wonderful miracle. And it just goes to demonstrate the fact that God knows the end from the beginning. He has things planned out before we even realize that we have a problem. He has solutions that were in the making years ago, years before the event even happens in some cases. Now, in this little story, it tells us in Matthew chapter 17, verse 24, "And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, 'Doth not your master pay tribute?' He saith, 'Yes.'" Now, Peter here actually made a mistake, because they were supposed to collect this tribute, or this tax, if you want to call it that, from non-residents, from strangers. And as such, Jesus and his disciples should not have been required to pay this tribute. But Peter had already agreed to do it. He saith, "Yes, and when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, 'What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers?'" Well, nowadays they take it from people, from the locals too, I guess you could say. In this country, we got the federal income tax, the state income tax, the sales tax, all kinds of permits, gas tax, and yeah, they there are a lot more taxes than there used to be. But at this point in time, it was just for strangers to pay tribute. So they shouldn't have been required to pay this. Verse 26, Peter saith unto him, of strangers. Jesus saith unto him, then are the children free. Verse 27, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea, and cast a hook, and take up the fish that first cometh up, and when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money, that take and give unto them for me and thee. God knew this was going to happen. Jesus knew this was going to happen. And one day, someone lost a piece of money, probably a coin. Perhaps they dropped it into the water, or maybe a child threw it into the water, and a fish came along and swallowed it. And there was a purpose even for that. God knew that they were going to need this money on this particular day. So Simon Peter, being a fisherman, he went and he caught that fish and he found that money and he paid that debt. You see, God is always ahead of us. He has a solution in the making before you even know that there's a problem. And I have to marvel at the things that God has done for us and the things that God has done for this ministry. You know, this ministry was built on faith. And one thing about this ministry is we don't charge for anything. We give everything away, and you just never know what's going to come in. We might have months where things are very good, and we might have months where things are very bad financially. And I remember stories that Dad used to tell, how one day he was going to get the newsletter printed, and he didn't have the money to pay for it, so he called the printer and asked if he could have it printed on credit. And then as he was leaving, he checked the mailbox, and in that mailbox there was money, the exact amount he needed to pay that debt. You see, God had a solution for that before Dad even knew that it was a problem. And it's amazing how the Lord has sustained this ministry throughout all these years. And He's helped me in many ways as well. I remember a couple of years ago I was grappling with a lot of debt, and it seemed like there was no way out of that one. And yet, things fell into place. And I never asked anyone for a dime. And yet people would come to me and say, the Lord told me to give you this money. And I was able to completely get out of that debt. And I'm not allowed to tell you how much it was, by the way, but it was significant. And I was so excited and so happy about that. And there were things that happened that, you know, even things that seemed bad, that God turned around and used for good. You know, we were driving during a snowstorm in April, the great snowstorm of April 2018, and we were so close to getting out of debt at that time, but I just didn't quite have enough. And then someone rear-ended my car. And, you know, that didn't feel good, but we got enough money to repair our car, and then the leftovers that gave us more than we needed was enough to pay that debt. And that year, we completely got out of all that debt. It's amazing how everything just fell into place. But, you know, the Lord, He's always ahead of us. Nothing is too hard for Him. He knows the end from the beginning. And, you know, this year, we've been having an ongoing issue with the bricks on this building. They're very old. This building is 102 years old. And in the back there, we had some bricks that had come loose and were starting to fall. And we needed some tuck pointing done on this building. So we contacted a contractor to do the work. And they've actually been working on it. It's very costly. Very, very costly. Thousands upon thousands of dollars. And I wasn't quite sure where we were going to come up with the money to pay for that either. You know, if we were going to use savings for it, we're going to really dwindle our resources. So I was pretty nervous about that. But lo and behold, God had a solution for that problem years ago. Years and years and years ago, he inspired a woman in Canada to put this ministry in her will. And the settlement just came through. It was wire transferred to the ministry. And there is enough there to completely cover the entire project. It's taken care of, and I never had to ask anyone for money to do it. Praise God. But you see, that is our God. He's always ahead of us. He always has a plan. He has a solution before we even know that there's a problem. And you can't convince me that that is not a miracle. I mean, think of the timing. The timing of that is miraculous, but that is what our God does for us. And He has done that for this ministry time and time again. So we should never doubt our God, because nothing is too hard for our God. In closing, let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and we are going to begin with verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Some people, they try to do that. They serve their money. And to some people, their money is their God. Ever wonder why, you know, it says on U.S. currency, "In God we trust"? Well, what God are they talking about anyway? Verse 25 tells us, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat and what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment?" God knows that we need all of these things. And He has a solution before we even ask. And that doesn't mean you don't have to ask. You should ask. Because when you come to the Lord in humility and you ask Him, you come before Him, you pray, that prepares your heart to receive what He has for you. And God knows just what to give us to make sure we don't get too spoiled either. Because that can happen too. Imagine if God just gave us whatever we asked for, whenever we asked for it, you know. Oh, Lord, give me a Lamborghini, and it falls out of the sky. People would be ruined by that, and very quickly. And we see that happen with children sometimes. Look at what happens to children when their parents give them every little thing they ask for. And pretty soon you got the little kids there at the Piggly Wiggly store. They want Skittles. The parents don't want to buy them Skittles, so they throw a fit rolling around on the floor until finally they relent and they buy them the Skittles. You know, I still wouldn't do it. But and sometimes kids get spoiled, and God knows how to make sure we don't get spoiled. But He knows what we need, and He knows how to give us enough. And sometimes we think we need more than we actually need. But it tells us in verse 26, "Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" In other words, Jesus is telling us, if God cares for the fowls of the air, if He cares for the animals, just imagine how much more He cares for you. Verse 27, "Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature?" You can't just sit down and think about it real hard and grow. "And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The best way to make sure your needs are met and you really get what you need, not necessarily what you want, seek the Lord first. You see, he's a God who can do anything. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. So if you have a problem, don't be afraid to call upon the Lord and then stand back and watch him work. Just as the Israelites did when they were crossing that Red Sea. They watched God do a miracle for them. They watched God do the impossible. And if you have enough faith, he will do the impossible for you too. But you have to seek him first. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. God can help you, even when it seems impossible. He's done it for me. He's done it for this ministry, and he'll do it for you if you just believe on him. You know, I'm not going to get up here and preach a prosperity gospel. I'm not going to promise you that God's going to give you millions of dollars if you do this or that. But one thing I know is, and that is that God loves us and he helps us. And he will help you if you just believe on him. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this morning, thanking thee for thy goodness, thanking thee for thy miracles, thanking thee for thy provision and for thy help. And we pray, Lord, that thou would help us to always believe on thee, to never doubt thee, but to look to thee, believing, O God, that thou truly can do anything. Help us, O God, to have great faith in thee. Help us, O God, to learn to expect miracles from thee, for we know that thou art a miracle worker. We know that thou doest miracles every day, and help us to be ready to receive those miracles. Help us to have hearts that are able to receive them. Help us to have faith that is able to believe thee. And we pray, Lord, that thou would continue to bless us and help us. Lead thy people. Help us to walk with thee day and night for the entirety of our lives. And help us, O God, to have great faith in thee. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. We are going to sing a chorus in closing. We're going to turn to number 89 in the chorus book. Oh, and open right up to it. 89 in the chorus book. God can do anything. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. God can be anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. And God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, and you are dismissed under prayer in Jesus' name. Thank you.